From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are here at the Big Blue Roundtable, live look-in 2020 NFL Draft. Of course, we do things a little bit different over here. We have passionate fans who speak their minds, and we are going to do like we do every year, have a live reaction to all the picks, yay or nay. Probably get through the top 10, because after the top 10, we're going to shut it down so we could go back to our daily lives and watch it with whoever, communicate with whoever, and so on and so forth. This year's a little different, as you all know, as you already know, with the situation doing it virtually. It feels, to me, this feels like fantasy football. It feels like a fantasy football draft. It almost has no difference in the fact that everybody's remote doing their picks. You know, each organization around the league, fans are, you know, tuning in for wherever locations they happen to be tuning in. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know if everything's going to run smooth, and we don't know if things are going – there's going to be a glitch in the process. So this is new territory for everybody, not beyond just the fantasy football level, but this is a real live – this is for everybody's 32-team draft. Before we bring on the stakeholders, I want to say one thing. I want to say thank you to all the Giant fans. Check out this past week's the last week's episode of the Stakeholder Mock Draft. It was a lot of great feedback from Giant fans who definitely listened, and they shared their thoughts with me. And I felt, you know, it was very welcome. Not just me, but it was everybody. It was, you know, Carl. It was the Worms. It was Isaac's, Dre's, Racing's, Chris. If I'm forgetting anybody from last week's episode, and that to me, that's what it's all about. It's about doing the homework, doing the independent research, and putting it all together and what makes sense for our team. And we have the great thing, and I think Carl said it best last week. You do the research. You have an idea of how you want to get to where you want to get to, and then at the end of the day, we all are on the same page as far as building this team correctly. But what I find fascinating is when we were sharing our picks last week, the fact that along the lines there was, you know, Manny Dogs is another one. Forgot to say him. Sorry. Shout out to Manny Dogs. Like Manny Dogs and Chris was on an accord for at least most of that draft. At least I'll say 60-70%, and it was very great to see that like minds are coming together, thinking for themselves, and putting it together. But the real draft is here. We'll see where we go with number four. If we stay at number four, we'll get everybody's reaction to who you know starts it off with Cincinnati. I think Cincinnati has a pick in every round, if I'm not mistaken. They will have that Friday and Saturday. But yeah, so the draft, what had it been in Las Vegas, is now it's a virtual draft. And we'll be waiting to see how these things go. But let's bring on the stakeholders in the order that they called. And we'll see how everything goes, man. We'll react to each pick. Expectations, anybody having draft remorse? Do they want – who they want to go with in the first round and then in the subsequent round, barring any trades? Let's see. I believe this is Bakes. Bakes from the front lines, man. Bakes was good, man. How's everything, man?
What's good, family?
What's good?
Shout out to all the frontliners and stakeholders out there. Everything good, man. Just holding it down. Work's been crazy. You know, I work for hospitals, so things have been crazy since the COVID-19. So, but I'm holding it down.
All right. I stay right there. All right. Let's see. I think this is Carl. Let's see if this is Carl. I'm not exactly sure. Carl, is this you?
Nah, man. This is your boy. This is your dude.
Oh, okay.
It's like
what's
three
going
in the
on,
morning. What's up, Steve?
What's going on, man? How
what's
you?
Up, right?
Nothing much.
Hey, man. Hey, we're going to have a good time. As long as I'm on here, we're going to have a good time tonight. This is what we live for. I'm a little blind. I don't have any material in front of me, but we're going to do it. We're going to do the damn thing. So let's get it cracking, bro.
I think on
what up, Bakes?
Like this, I mean, we've Bakes, say, shout out to Bakes. Shout out to Chris. I think when it comes to these type of episodes, we've done these over the several, you know, last several years. You specifically
always
holding
fun
down the fort the last couple of years. I mean,
no,
this is one of those times. You know, you don't really have an analysis for a game. You're just reacting because the picks take forever to make.
Yeah,
you're just reacting to what we do, and we're gonna see if we're holding because the Giants could go a lot of ways. We already know this, but there was a lot of great feedback from Giants fans on your draft, Carl's draft. I mean, everybody's draft, really, in general. And and just wanted to share that out. I want to help listeners who check that out, what we had to say round by round. Now let's see if this is Carl and bring him on to the conversation. Hey, Carl, is this you?
Okay.
Good evening, gentlemen. Not. Happy draft.
What up, homie?
What's going on? Hope everybody's staying safe. To all my Atlanta people, stay home if you can.
Yeah.
I see this. They're trying to run some game down there, so be careful, you know, and hopefully tonight's a good night for everybody here.
Now, is there anything?
I want to tell Banks specifically.
Is any surprises for you, Carl? Then we'll go back to Banks. Now, in the first round, I mean, last week was 100% what we think our team is going to do. Now, any surprises from the rest of the team, specifically in the top 10? I think we're going to stay on through the first 10 picks and then call it a draft, a show, live looking up through the first 10 picks. Any surprises out of any of the teams, any leapfrogs, trades, predictions, Carl, before we go back to Banks?
I think you might want to look out for Detroit. If they, you know, here's the thing. If they select the tackle from Auburn, then that puts the Giants in an interesting spot because what you're finding right now is that there seems to be no real consensus on the tackles. And if that is the case, and there is blue chip grades on the linebacker and the cornerback, Okuda and Simmons, well, I know the idea of I need an offensive lineman. But if a great player on defense exists, why wouldn't you take them? Isn't that the Gettleman mindset? I thought about this over the last couple of days, and I sort of came to this mindset after a while.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the thing.
That's interesting.
Here's the thing. The one rumor that seems to be floating out there the last like 48 hours is Miami leapfrogging the Giants to number 3 to take Andrew Thomas, which is a little strange. I don't know if I believe that, but if
why
that
would
is
they
the
do
case, well,
why, would,
yeah,
they
why would you do that?
I think this draft is going to be weird. I don't think there's any whatever convention we might have going in, just dismiss it. And once pick 3, as we said for weeks now, pick 3 is when the draft starts. If something happens, then all of a sudden, I think that's when we'll start seeing all wheeling and dealing and deciding. But I know there's a rumor today about the Giants perhaps trading out of that spot, maybe with Jacksonville or something like that. I mean, we'll see about that. But that, I think a lot of surprises. Once we get to pick 3, that's when things are going to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
The first 2 spots are for sure, though. Is that going to be – I think Burrow actually, you know, he's not moving anywhere. But how sure are the Redskins on Young? That's what my question is. Is that a definite – is that set in stone?
Well, I think one team was trying to move up to the 2, but the Redskins rebuffed the – I think it was Miami that was trying to get to number 2, and they were – from what – you know, like you said, there's a lot of weird stuff going out there, but I think they were rebuffed by the Redskins. So I think that the Young thing is legit. And that's going to happen.
Oh, man. Okay. So, all right. I have another question. If you don't mind, Steve. Well, I don't know. I don't know where Steve went, but I got another question.
I was listening. Go ahead.
I didn't hear you. But this, I'm in a weird position anyway. So, I got another question. Again, it's the Isaiah Simmons question again. Okay. But how low? I guess this is a detachment to what you just asked, Steve, but I guess I'm asking Carl. How low could he conceivably go? When I say that, I mean, could he actually drop? Would it surprise you if he dropped all the way to, say, I don't know, 11 with the Jets? Or what?
Probably not.
You know? Okay.
Probably not that high. I think 9 would be the number.
Okay.
So, because
why,
I'm looking
why,
at the
why, why, why?
So the three teams after the Giants are what? Was it San Diego? No, was it Miami?
No, it's Miami, San Diego, and Chargers, right. And, I mean, the Chargers.
Yeah, Miami,
and
Chargers,
else.
Carolina.
It should be L.A. now.
Yeah. Carolina. And
okay.
Carolina and I think Arizona. I think those are the four.
I will say this. Go ahead, Carl. I'm sorry. I didn't know. Go ahead.
No, I think between those four teams, I think if the best chance for slippage would probably be to get to between 8 and 9. I think the Cardinals are probably looking for an offensive lineman, so you might take your chances and dismiss that. The Panthers, I think they're heavy for the Auburn kid if he gets there. And then the Chargers, if Tua or the quarterback Herbert is there. So I think if you play your cards right, you can probably get that far. But after that, I think you're taking a real risk.
Okay. You feel the same way,
to answer your question, Chris, this is my thought process. If you're talking about Isaiah Simms in particular, we'll get Kristen on after this and then go back to Biggs. But if he, for whatever reason, happens to slip, I do not think he gets past. He goes no lower than 7, meaning if he somehow – I think the Chargers in Miami, for different reasons, need quarterbacks. They need a spark in their organization.
Right.
For instance, the Chargers – you got to look at it business-wise and logically. The Chargers are going literally into a new stadium. And especially now, like what Big said at the – start of this episode with COVID-19, you got to find any revenue sale buzz you can get, and you get that through
absolutely.
So,
to answer your question, Chris,
mm-hmm. And this is probably another topic we could bring into the table. That news that happened this week, I don't see Isaiah Simmons going no lower than Carolina, because as much as I love Derrick Brown, he was a monster at Auburn. You watch a lot of SEC games. You saw what he did in the Iron Bowl. I mean, this guy wrecks havoc, and he fits a Carolina Panthers style. However, Carolina would definitely need a linebacker, probably right after defensive lineman. Meaning, when you are the defense in the NFC South, and you have Drew Brees, you have Matt Ryan, and now you got Tom Brady, and you added a retired Gronkowski. You need linebackers that could cover. So mm-hmm. you may want to entertain the idea heavily to pair Shaq Thompson, linebacker for – remember, that was a guy we loved on the draft show years ago.
That's right.
When he came out of Washington, Shaq Thompson. You throw him with an Isaiah Simmons. That you might, you know what I'm saying, you may be able to sleep a little bit better at night as a Carolina Panthers fan, knowing you got to go up against two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, and maybe three Hall of Fame quarterbacks. It's not, you know, Matt Ryan, you know, may have an outside shot, but the whole point is you have a division loaded with all pro quarterbacks. You kind of need a defense in that division.
Did Kukli retire? Luke Kuechly?
Sorry. Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Okay, I didn't hear you say. Okay. That makes sense. It makes sense for Carolina. I can see that. Okay.
Yeah.
And what happened this week? You said what happened this week. What happened?
Gronkowski comes out of retirement. The Patriots trade his rights to the Buccaneers. So that's what I'm saying. Like, you got a team now.
Lord.
You got Brady with the Buccaneers, Gronkowski with all those
New
other
England
tight ends. I don't think they're going to keep all the tight ends. Somebody's got to go. That's too much. So you can always trade one of those tight ends and get something back and get something stronger where you're weak at. So, Tampa Bay is really better on paper right now. I know Gronkowski is a little bit hurt, but he doesn't even have to be the main option. I mean, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards, and they still went 7-0.
Yeah.
You got Mike Evans. You got you have weapons. They're probably going to get a running back by the end of this draft. But to answer your question, we'll bring on Kristen and then go back to Bates. They don't. Isaiah Simmons, he's not getting past Carolina for some reason. The Giants choose not to go linebacker, even though I know we have our differences. And I mean, you could really go no wrong tackle defense. I mean, we have holes. It is what it is. Kristen, what's going on? Bring you to the conversation line. Our live looking virtual draft episode of Hope Giants. Make the fans proud. What's going on? How you doing? Are you there?
Mm-hmm. In spirit.
Kristen, are you there?
In spirit.
I had to check twice to see if I was not on mute. I will leave her, Michael.
Technical difficulty.
We'll go back to Bakes. Yeah, we'll go back to Bakes. Bakes, where do you want to go with the first round draft pick? I don't know your perspective. Where would you like to go for the first round pick? And then also the points Chris made about Isaiah Simmons, how far does he go? And what about surprises in the draft? Do you think could happen? I mean, there's always a surprise, and it's always fun trying to predict that. What's your thoughts?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, of course, I personally want a defensive player, a dynamic defensive player, and I believe the best available possibly at our point would be Isaiah Simmons. However, you know, I'm not a fan of our GM, but I think he's going to pick an offensive tackle. But for me, I would like Isaiah Simmons, but realistically, he signed two linebackers out of free agency, so I don't think he's going to draft a linebacker. But that's who I want. But Wirfs would be a good number two pick in my book out of Iowa. Good size, dynamic, and can challenge for the left tackle position.
Okay.
But time will tell at four.
Okay.
Okay. Have any questions
right.
for Carl or Christian or Chris?
At
6'1". Do you think is a strong possibility? My question would be, what do you think is a strong possibility that the Giants might take an option to go back in the draft, draft their pick and move further back to gain more picks?
Oh, boy. Carl, you better take that.
Oops.
I don't know.
All right.
I got you.
Yeah, Carl, you hear? Did you hear Bakes' question? And then we'll go to Chris.
No, I had just taken it off the speaker for a second. What was the question?
Bakes asked the chances of the Giants in this first round going back in the draft, meaning going backwards in the draft in the sense of
trading
down. Yeah.
I don't think so. I think what Gettleman's probably going to weigh is the risk of losing the player that he's probably targeting, as opposed to just staying right there. I think he's going to. Part of me has been on this thinking he's going to overdraft the player he's going to get at number four. You know, and for me, when I'm thinking of a fourth pick in the draft, I'm thinking of a guy that's going to be an instant starter, a guy who right away is going to step in. I don't know, outside of Okuda, Simmons, and Brown, I can't be sure about any of the other guys that you would be considering at that particular spot, unless, and this would be the craziest thing, you know, now I don't think they're ever going to do this, but, you know, taking a quarterback. I mean, it would sound outrageous.
Oh, boy.
But I'm going to give that like 0.07% and then just let it play out.
Okay. Chris, you want to answer that before we go to Chris?
I just don't think he's that creative, Steve. I'm going to put it that way.
Yeah.
Or Bakes. I just don't think he's that creative. I'm sorry. We would have been – I don't know what the rumor mill is like, so I can't really tell. But I do know that Gettleman has a habit of not really maximizing the gifts that and the levity that the draft can give you. He doesn't really work that way. He's like, if we got 17, we're going to draft 17, and that's it. That kind of guy. Now you're at number four, and you got a bevy of ways to go. I think he's going to stay in the pocket. I don't think he's going to unless something ridiculous happens within the next 10 minutes, I think we're not trading anything. I think we'll be right there waiting on probably one of the tackles. I want Isaiah Simmons really bad. I really wish he was to be the guy, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a rug pulled from underneath me, and they're going to go, you know, probably Besson or Thomas or worse, or the one I like the best, which is Wills. And I just Chris, that's what I'm looking at. That's all I'm doing.
Chris, huh? Do you think tackle is the best move in the sense that there is no consensus on who the best tackle is?
No, which I think the best move would be to get the most dynamic, jarring, disruptive defensive presence that we could possibly have at this moment. But that's not our biggest need. Our biggest need is a superstar on the line. I get that. But the
right.
question you asked me is that the best move? No, the best move would be Simmons. And I'm going to tell you, and it goes back to really Steve to hear all the time. We don't have any playmates.
Yeah, here's my question, a rhetorical question for you, Chris, going off of Carl. I mean, isn't that the model of the Giants for like 3-4 decades? Shoot, 5 decades, best player available. Why would you go away from that? If you are best player available, why would you not take Simmons?
Exactly. Because you're Dave Gettleman, that's why. And and he is one of those guys that if all the experts say it's best to go left, he is going to research deeply on why it's great for him to go right instead, and then make an excuse as to why he didn't, and he's just that kind of dude. That's him. I'm looking at his personality and his position and how he calls the shots. But I'm with the status quo. I think we need to go for the best talent. It's standing right in front of us at number 4. My gut tells me it's Simmons all the way through, but my instinct, knowing him and our front office, will tells me different. It tells me let's go safe and let's go pick protection for Jones and let's widen up the damn running lane. For Barkley, and that kid Wills out of Alabama, he does that the best. So that's where I'm at.
What? All right, we're going to bring on Ray, and then we'll try to get back Kristen and go back to Carl. Let me tell you something, man. The Bengals have been on the clock almost 7 minutes as we've been talking. What is taking the Bengals so long? I mean, they had the entire regular season, the entire playoffs. They had the whole winter to know exactly where they're going with this pick. Why are they milking? Why are they wasting our time?
Because they're trading with us so they can get number 436.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
oh, no.
All right, Kristen, are you finally with us?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was muted the whole damn time. I'm sorry.
Oh,
hi, guys.
Okay.
How's everybody?
Now,
hi, everybody.
Let's get your opinion.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Carl.
Hey. Let's get your opinion, man. As far as the Bengals are on the clock, should have been picked by now. But Bakes had a lot of good points. How far does Simmons go in the top 10, do you think? Any surprises in the draft? The Giants, where do you like to go first round? The whole shebang as the Cincinnati Bengals waste our time, and then we'll go to racing.
I think Simmons, if we don't get him at 4 by some bizarre freaking reason, he'll probably be picked up at 7. He's not going to go beyond 7. He's got to be picked up before then. Gettleman, as far as I'm concerned, this guy's hard to read. All right. He goes against the grain, just like freaking Chris said. So you don't know what you're going to get with this guy. You never know. Wills is great for Barkley. I think it's a perfect pick. For me, it's Simmons. We've got to go with what's right in our face. I don't want to relapse. Okay. Please. I don't want to repeat of what happened the last time. It's in our face. We got to get them. We have. Morgan said it best. Actually, he said it earlier tonight. Offense wins games, but defense wins championships. And that's my sentiment exactly. That's exactly how I feel. I feel we need to build up that defense. Those are my thoughts.
All right. Stay right there. Let's see where the Bengals go. Why waste 10 minutes of our time? Like, come on. This is ridiculous. We're going to bring on Rayson as we see where Goldell goes with this. Rayson, what's going on, man? How's everything? You made a lot of great points last week in the draft show. What's your thoughts on tonight?
Well, you know, like I said, Simmons is the safe bet. The thing with me is, if we're going to go tackle, I think at number four pick is a reach. And we're going to get a tackle at number four. He better be a Hall of Famer. I've been saying this. He better be a Hall of Famer, Bruce Matthews type of offensive lineman. Other than that, and we go and we reach for a tackle. I know we need an offensive lineman. I know that completely well. I know that. But at four, to me, is a reach. And if we go that high to get offensive tackle, I'm telling you, he better be a Pro Bowler off the bat. If not, I'm going to be upset. And that's all I got to say.
And I agree with those sentiments, man. Ray said that last week. And I agree. And I got to be honest, man. And there's nothing against – yeah, I hate to say I'm not – you know, I hate when people say that because I'm doing it too. I'm being a hypocrite. Like, if he ain't Bruce Matthews, if he ain't Jonathan Ogden, if he ain't those type of – you know, type of Hall of Fame type, Larry Allen type players on the line, man, go defense, man. We all know we need a defense. We could address that later in the draft. And we talked about the needs last couple for the whole off season. But I'm with you, Ray, on that. I am definitely with you. Hey, Chris, you have anything else to say? You want to go back to Bakes on his thoughts? Joe Burrow going to the Bengals. No surprise. Mm-hmm. The surprise is, why the hell did you wait so long for the pick? But what's your thought?
No, I don't. My thoughts is how good this feels me talking to my peeps again, man. This has been a total lockdown of the greatest proportions, man. I'm all the way in Europe and shit, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I get to hear this shit and talk to y'all live. I think this has got to fly. I like it.
How is the buzz as far as the NFL out there?
Oh, no, it's all about soccer here, bro. It's all about everybody's pissed off because there's not going to be any preliminary games. Summer, we call it football. We call it soccer. But there's no preliminary exhibition games over here. There's on any level. There's no travel allowed in and out.
The Bengals.
Hello?
Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Go ahead, Chris. Okay.
Joe Burrow just got picked up by the Bengals.
Yeah, he's home. He's good. But yeah, man. And I just wanted to shout that out, man. I feel good about that. Burrow is going to be okay. I think, you know, people don't realize the Bengals got some receivers out there, man. You know, Tyler Boyd and crew. They, you know, he's got some targets. So they can, if they do the right thing, they could probably compete on a nice level, man, right out the box for him. So we'll see. But that's the perfect pick for him, man, including environment, 9 yards. So that's a great
quick question. Let me ask you this. Andy Dalton is still there in Cincinnati, right? So, you know, assuming everything gets back to normal, Joe Burrow, at what point do they implement him? Day one? Or they probably have to be day one, right? He's a Heisman Trophy national championship winning quarterback, right? Or does Andy Dalton, what do they do with him as far as bench? Who starts day one?
Andy Dalton has been starting for 10 years maybe? Has he been there that long?
Yeah, give or take. Yeah.
About 10 years. And he got into the playoffs once or twice or so. But I don't think they're going to give up on him front office-wise. They're not going to just say, okay, man, here's your walking papers. We got our dude in the future. There's going to be some kind of quarterback tussle, if you will, some kind of battle in mini camp. There's going to be a play-up with his local media. Because, you know, Ohio fans are fanatic about their football, so you'll have that little drama to go with.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be – I think this is what I'm going to see. At the end of the day, I think you'll see Dalton being traded with some more firepower either tonight, tomorrow, or probably in the middle of just before the summer breaks. That's what I think.
Okay. All right. Kristen, you have any additional words before we go back to Bakes as the Redskins make their pick?
No, I'm just listening to everybody right now.
Oh, no, what? I gotta ask everybody, you know, do we have any winner's remorse? When we beat the Redskins that second time in D.C., Chris, Kristen, Carl, Rayson,
yep.
It put us in the position where we are now, two draft slots. You was at that time, I think a lot of us was on that episode, wanted to win where a lot of fans want us to lose. I still stick by winning games over, you know, tanking, but does that theory still stay in your mind, or you rather be where the Redskins are right now today?
I'm good where we are.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Carl.
Well, I was going to say, I remember saying it at the time and didn't realize it until the next week. That victory had ramifications because what has happened is, like, in theory, you would say, yes, let's win the game. Let's build team cohesion. Let's build culture and stuff like that. The issue with that is that after the next week, they fired the coach and they were going to replace 30% of the roster. So it's not as if the same guys that played in that game are the same guys coming back in whenever this hypothetical season starts. So the victory on its own had no real value. In fact, if you take a look the next week, it wasn't as if they built on the victory. Like that, they played a team that was basically playing for its, you know, for its playoff future the next week and reverted right back to the same team that they had been all season long. Like the victory on its own didn't really do anything. And so now we're in a situation where the Giants, we thought were going to get a pass rusher in the offseason. That still hasn't happened. We're still trying to figure out how that's going to play out. Had they simply lost the game, now the Redskins had something to do with it because they didn't go for two, but the Giants' decision in terms of the play that you see on the screen right now would have been made very easy, and the moves that they would have made would have been a lot easier had they simply gotten the player that's going to be drafted coming up here. But that quote-unquote victory had a domino effect of events that have taken place since then that, unfortunately, one victory did not solve.
Mm-hmm. All right. Let's go back to Bakes, man. Bakes, any additional thoughts as the Skins are on the clock? Their pick is in, actually. And then we'll go right back down to Carl, Chris, Kristen, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew that Cincinnati was taking Joe Burrow. It's a solid pick. He's poised in the pocket. He's a champion. And they got to do something about Andy Dalton. So that's a solid pick. We believe Washington is going to pick, you know, Chase Young at two, but we're going to wait and see. But so far, it's pretty much going as the prognosticator scripted. So we'll see if there's any wrinkles in the draft. But so far, it's going as according to plan. So exciting to see what we're going to do it for, though.
All right, cool. Thank you very much on that. We'll go back to Carl. Carl, there's no surprise, Chase Young, Ohio State goes to the Redskins. Now he's in the division. How do you block this guy, Carl? And then we'll go to Kristen and Rayson.
Better get you some linemen. Because
that's right.
The Cowboys' defensive line, the Eagles' defensive line, the Giants haven't been able to figure out how to block, and now the Redskins' defensive line, you know, and that's three lines. You got to face them twice each year. You know, that's 38% of the schedule, and if you don't have guys to block them, I'm sorry, Cameron Fleming is not going to be a guy that you're going to have on Chase Young coming when the season starts, and you're going to block him twice. It's just not going to happen. So better find some guys out there.
That's right. Big body guys, too, with that.
All right. So, Carl, before we go back to Chris, do you think now that this is actually happening, that Dave Gettleman and everybody remotely looks at this and say, oh, man, you know what? I mean, is the reality setting in? Maybe they had their eyes on a certain player. They go back to going to the offensive line that now that this is actually happening. Because, you know, before all this happened, people have their, you know, their thoughts on what could happen or whatever. But now it's all playing out with the world watching us. The microscope is on watching the NFL draft right now. Do they Giants stick to their guns? Do they Did they double down? Do they change their minds? What's your thoughts, Carl? And then we'll go to Chris.
I think they're going to keep the plan that they probably had all along and just let it ride out and just hope for the best. But if you look at some of the plays that they're showing, Chase Young lining up at both the left-end spot and the right-end spot, you better figure out not only if, you know, even if you get a left tackle, you better have a quality guy on the right-hand side of the offensive line that can block this guy, because he is going to be – he is going to wreak havoc. This guy is too good. The guys have been saying for months now, he's better than Nick Bosa was, and Bosa was great last season. And he's better than Joey Bosa, who has been great for the last 3 years. Like, this dude is legit. And, you know, the Giants have been having an issue blocking dudes now for about 3 years, maybe longer than that, at least. So having quality offensive linemen in a league where there is so few – this draft has to be about finding enough dudes not only to protect the passer, but to find ways to run the ball. And now hopefully he doesn't, you know, if he turns into Jadeveon Clowney, maybe it all works out. But that blocking, that's stopping the pass and preventing it, that's how we're going to have to win. And I'm hoping Gettleman looks at it that way.
All right, we'll go to Chris. Chris, you already know Chase Young to the Redskins. Detroit currently on the clock, about almost a minute and a half left till they make their selection. Then we're on the clock. But, I mean, think about it. Montez Sweat, a guy you liked out of Mississippi State, the Alabama boys from the Crimson Tide, Deron Payne, Allen, and you add in whatever left you could get out of Ryan Kerrigan, and now you add a Chase Young. That's a nice front seven, man. That's a nice little front seven.
That has the potential. Who's their defensive coordinator? Redskins.
Well, Ron Rivera took over as head coach, so he brought in Jack Del Rio, I believe. So you know you're getting a veteran.
Oh God.
Old school,
really?
Type of guy. Yeah, yeah.
And
remember
you know
that,
Ron. He's
the
coach's.
Yeah.
He's a player's dream.
Absolutely.
And he's the type of coach that's going to demand perfection. And let me tell you, this has the potential to be probably one of the more dangerous front seven defenses in football, man. I mean, that's crazy to me. I just put all of that together. I've been away too long. I think that's what happened. You know, I was critical of Chase Young for a little while because I used to see him taking plays off at Ohio State, you know, and I didn't like that. Then I realized that taking him off, he was taking these players off by order of the coordinators, man, because, you know, when you're winning 63-10 or whatever you were doing, you didn't want the guy out there. So I've got that part. So I was always had this thing in the back of my mind, though. Is he going to play full throttle, full speed? Is he a four-down type of dude? And from all indications, I think that he, you know, he's a monster. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Just like Carl said.
Well,
who's on the clock? I heard something.
Well, Lions go Jeff Okuda out of Ohio State, so back-to-back Buckeyes off the board. I know a lot of those Michigan Wolverines fans do not like that, man. Ohio State.
Okay,
I'm gonna
shut it down now, Steve, because I gotta run all the way to another spot to look. So y'all do your thing. I'll be back on in about 20 seconds.
All right, folks, about to go down.
Jeff Okuda goes to the Lions. The Giants are on the clock. Kristen, are you burning up mad as far as the Giants? Where Gettleman may go?
Please, don't jinx it, okay? I'm on the edge of my seat. Right, I'm actually – now I'm standing up. I'm not even sitting down anymore. I'm standing up. So I'm going to have to replace my TV. You'll find out in about 2 seconds. Let's see. But no,
warranty, man.
I hope to God. Listen, it's in your friggin' face, you moron. Pick them and let's go.
Well, but think about it like this. Let me get. Can I put some optimism into this? Because think about it. Two drafts ago,
please.
The obvious pick was the Barkley pick, right? He went Barkley.
Right.
Like he was the best player on the table. Last year's draft, we thought obviously we needed a pass rusher, and he does the opposite. And not get the pass rusher.
Yep.
So you had one draft, the obvious pick, And then you had the best player available. We thought, we all thought to believe, not go that route. And we'll see where we go, man, with the Giants on the clock. Anything else, Kristen, before we go to racing, before we the Giants make their pick?
No, 6 minutes and counting. 6:18.
Okay. Racing. All right. We'll go ahead. We'll go to racing. Racing, man, what's your thoughts, man? Are you about to break a TV over there?
Nah, not yet, Steve. Not yet. We'll see in a minute. I mean the first three picks were obvious, you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
But we'll see where Gettleman goes. I don't know where he's gonna go, but I got a feeling he's gonna reach for offensive tackle, which is gonna piss me the fuck off, excuse my language. But wait, Isaiah Simmons is sitting right there. That's the safest pick. Like, why would you pick that dude, man? Like, come on, man.
Thank you, Ray.
But, yo, we're talking about Gettleman, man. We don't know about this dude. He's suspect to me anyway. So, but, yeah, man, I mean, we'll see. We'll wait and see what he does, man.
Yeah, I got a bottle.
Cool, man. Shout out to you got a bottle.
This is exciting.
I got a bottle of this Brugal. You better take a shot right now before this pick comes in, because
hey, go ahead. You might need it, man. I'm sorry, man. Get ahead of the game, man.
Tell you right now,
man.
This is brutal. I remember last year. I did not hear the show live last year when the Giants took Daniel Jones. I was flying to Belize the next morning, and so I'm on the flight, and I'm listening to the show on the flight, and I remember when Jones was drafted. I don't know who it was. There was somebody who was just, like, ready to lose their shit completely.
That was me.
We all were. Everybody was. Yeah. 10. Oh, my God. It was crazy.
I didn't know who the fuck he was.
I couldn't laugh as much as I wanted to on the plane, so I had to be like, I couldn't say anything.
Who was it? Was it Billy Bob?
I have to find the archive.
That's it, Kristen. It was.
It could have been Billy Bob because, yo, he goes ape shit. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, Billy Bob. It was Billy Bob. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He was
in the ceiling, huh?
Oh, my
man.
God.
He's in the ceiling.
It was not going to work that night. I tell you right now.
that set the tone for the rest of the draft. It just was downhill
right
from
now,
there.
Bro.
That was it.
This is the longest 4 minutes
man.
In the world.
I'm telling you.
Like,
this,
they had to go to commercial.
Crazy.
They had to go to
That's
commercial.
What I said. This is conspiracy. Why us? Now you need a commercial? Fuck out of here.
Okay. Okay, are folks prepared for Derrick Brown, just in case?
Oh, my God, no. I'm getting my warranty.
That better
right
not
now.
Happen.
Oh, man, don't do that to me. Hey, Carl, don't say that, man.
Time for an upgrade. That's it.
I'm sorry.
That's painful.
You know what?
Don't,
it's
don't
not out of the question, man. This guy loves guys in the trenches. I mean, we love Ernie, of course, the former general manager for the Giants, and that was his theory as far as stocking up, you know, getting your Yusei Umeros out of Troy. He would get your Justin Tucks out of Notre Dame, Strahan from Texas Christian. So you sometimes Giants think and it still looms in the building, all right? If he doubles down and gets another defensive tackle after getting Dexter Lawrence in the first round last year, and then on top of that, Dalvin Tomlinson from the year before, this would be a very hard, and I like Derrick Brown a lot, man. He's a fantastic, fantastic player, but we don't need that. We all know that. I mean, we're kind of good, defensive tackles. Whether you play a 3-4 or the 4-3 or the 5-2, it doesn't matter what front, man. Let's go to Bakes, man. Bakes, the anticipation, Giants on the clock, man. Your thoughts, man. And they go to a commercial on top of that. Bakes, your thoughts before the Giants make the pick. Maybe he's not there. Right. Chris, Chris, are you still back? I know Chris was had a good to a different spot. Chris, you there?
Yeah, I don't know what you just heard.
Man,
my daughter, my daughter just yelled at me to stop stressing. So I'm just swaying right now. We're at a minute 26.
Gentleman's taking too long. He's who's hacking Gentleman's computer right now?
Yeah, I mean,
end of story.
Let's wrap it up. Come on. He's going to wait till you're right. He's going to wait till a second and call it.
Gentleman got the blue screen on his computer. Gentleman got the blue screen on his computer. Restarting.
All right,
Gentleman's
going to
get a wide receiver.
Picks in, everybody. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to wait for the Giants pick, and we're going right down the line. We're going to start off with Bakes. When the Giants make the pick for whoever it is, we'll get reaction from each and everybody. We'll start with Bakes at the top of the show.
Media
reaction and see where we go with the pick.
Come on.
Isaiah Simmons, please.
Come on now. Silence. Really? We got to show this? Oh, my God. Come on.
Trying to make everybody cry right now.
Oh.
I know, right? I know.
They're showing all the bad shit. It's like,
it's worse than Tiger King.
Come on. Oh, my God. They're like neck and neck right now.
That was terrible. That was terrible.
I'm going to start calling Gettleman Carol.
What a hot mess that was, wasn't it? That was a really a tough
crazy.
Watch. Man.
Is it Cameron?
I know the anticipation that we're here. Listening, we got Bakes, Carl, Kristen, Rayson, Chris, and myself, Steve, and Giants ready to make the pick so we can get a reaction off of this and continue with the top 10 before we get off, man. I know I'm looking forward to the reaction for whatever we get. Each individual player gets what they want, or each for the whole fan base. So we'll see where we go with this pick. The anticipation since our season was lost. Gettleman's in the corner. Joe Judge.
Gettleman's in his basement right now. Don't know what the hell he's going to do.
He had a picture of the city of Charlotte behind him a couple of days ago. He finally took it down.
Oh.
Thank goodness.
Good. Let's get a good pick out of it.
Oh, man.
Let's see where we go.
Yo, why the hell is Gettleman wearing a damn mask when he's in his damn basement?
Yeah, in the house, yeah. Oh, goodness gracious.
Because he's a moron. I've been telling you guys for how many seasons?
Good Lord.
He's doing the mask. It could at least been a Giants mask. Well, here goes with the pick. Where are we going?
Let's go. Come on.
Andrew Thomas. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Oh,
I'm done.
Give me a minute.
Hold on. Everybody, just go on me real quick. We're going to start with Bakes. The Giants go Andrew Thomas. So this is along the line of Dre's draft last week. Go Andrew Thomas, the tackle out of Georgia. Bakes, your immediate reaction. We'll start off with Bakes, and then we'll go to Carl. We'll go to Chris, Kristen, and Rayson, and myself. Andrew Thomas on the first pick. Go ahead, Bakes, your thoughts. Is he there?
Wow.
It's big. We'll come back to Bakes. Bakes might be on. Carl, go ahead, Carl. Immediate reaction. You was thinking tackle on your draft, but are you satisfied with the pick, Carl? And then we go right down the line. Carl, Andrew Thomas out of Georgia.
If you remember, at the end of the football season, a lot of the mock drafts had Thomas in the top five, and that was even before the combine. So if you take that, this pretty much holds exactly what the mocks had, you know, 3-4 months ago when this was even being conceived. Perhaps none of the other guys were really in any consideration, but, you know, I think one thing that has to be looked at is, you know, Thomas played at, you know, at SEC school, pro-style type offense, perhaps the most quote-unquote pro-ready. There may be a situation where because of the condensed offseason, if that happens, they need somebody that can step in right away that might be the most advanced as opposed to some of these other guys. And from that standpoint, if you're looking at it from that, then I guess it's a halfway decent move. But the one thing that you would have to think about is whether or not he has a – I don't know why he's wearing a mask in his house.
Friggin' idiot.
I don't know what is going on there. But if we're basically taking this guy and thinking he has a floor and not the ceiling, then a safe pick at number four is just – it's, you know, it's just sort of meh. Yeah, I can't get totally excited about that.
Okay. All right, let's go to Chris, and then Chris, then after that. Chris, your thoughts.
I'm a little stunned right now. Sorry. He wasn't even my number one offensive tackle. He was my fourth. You know? I don't think – I think Carl has a point. It's probably the readiness. But – you know, look, he was rock solid last year. Okay, I'm going to try to be positive. He was rock solid last year. You know, the game he had against Florida was monumentous, and it improved his a lot, you know. But he looked like shit against Auburn and LSU. Okay, he got beat down a bit. And he's got some growing to do, as they all do. However, I'm going back to what I said earlier in the show. You have to, at number four, pick the best talent you can possibly find, the best available. You mean to tell me this is the best cat that you could have possibly gotten that will complete a certain need on your particular team when you have new coordinators and a new play scheme coming up? You think that's the best guy you could have picked? I'm not sure. I'm a little hazy right now. In fact, there's a lot to like about this guy. You know, he can hit the ground running, I think. But I'm not there yet, Steve. I'm sorry, man. I wasn't expecting this. Once again, you know, I don't know whether we should or not right here. I don't know. I can't talk.
Feel free to express your thoughts.
I don't even know what the hell's going on. Okay, let me see. Let me think about this. Okay, came from pro style offense, right? He's seen some excellent competition over his years. Okay, he has the potential and pass protection to be an excellent starting left tackle. That's what it appeared to be to me. The few times I saw him, I just don't know if he's, you know, because he has good technique. I like his hand placement and shit. But I just don't know. I think I'm caught up with a myriad of thoughts. I like the kid, but then I don't like him at number four. I don't think he was the most talented at that position. I think we could have gone. I think we may have screwed the pooch by leaving Isaiah Thomas out there. All these things, Isaiah Simmons out there. All these things are running through my head at once. And I just can't wrap myself around Andrew Thomas as the fourth top player that you could have drafted in this particular draft. Him?
Well, Chris.
I don't know.
Well, Chris, this goes back to what we were talking about before. Like, you know, there's been some mock drafts that have had him go as low as like 14. But the idea of him, Gettleman, trading down, which has never happened, has played out exactly how it has always played out. And so I think the smoke that had been out there about, oh, he might trade down to this number, it did not match anything he's ever done. So I think we talked about this in the draft show a couple weeks ago. He's probably was going to overdraft a particular player, and that's exactly what's happened. You know, while we say that, you know, he played at an SEC school, played in a pro-style offense and such like that, there has been no one in any of these in the lead up to this draft that has said that this particular player is a franchise left tackle. Nobody has said that.
I got a name.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. We'll go to Chris and get her. He kind of reminds me of a watered down, not as ceiling of a Jason Peters. A little bit smaller, serviceable, but to Rayson's point, not really the franchise tackle. He's a very good tackle, but not for where I would have with that. Somebody got a lot of background noise. Kristen, your thoughts, and then go to Race, and then we go to Base and get his thoughts. Kristen, your thoughts on our draft pick with Andrew Thomas.
Okay. Thomas wasn't even on my fucking radar.
I'm burning up mad.
He wasn't even the fucking seven. Are you like? I just don't understand the fucking logic. I don't understand it. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me? Hold on now. Okay, we got some very knowledgeable fucking fans on this freaking podcast. You mean to tell me, Thomas, over Simmons at number four? I would have took worse. I would have took Wills.
I would have took Wills first.
What?
Yeah.
Wills? What? Where is it? I mean, I don't understand. If I was at his house, I'd crawl up on his fucking desk, okay? Stand up on his desk, ball my fucking elbow up, and drop a fucking people's elbow right in his fucking head. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. I don't know whether to throw punch him or jump off the desk and give him the elbow. I don't know. The guy's a fucking idiot. I've been saying it for years. You've got a golden boy right in front of you. Right in front of you. And now this is going to set the tone for the rest of the shit show tonight, everybody. So it's a repeat. This is all repeated all over again. I don't know.
Hope you all had a drink.
So as we're going to go to racing, as the draft continues, Tua goes to the Dolphins. That's a good look for Miami. Racing, your thoughts on the Giants getting Andrew Thomas. And we are officially locked in to the Dre Graham draft board right now. We're all full 100% mode Dre Graham draft board. Shout out to Dre Graham. Racing, your thoughts.
Man, listen. This is a shit show right now. Wells would have been my better pick. Gettleman will be fired at the end of the season. Mark my words. He's an idiot. I'm sorry. He's an idiot. How was Thomas dropped in the draft stack? He dropped down, man. Like, where the hell did this pick come from? Like, he's not at number four? Are you serious? You know what? Gettleman got to go, man. I'm sorry. I'm upset right now. Bad enough, the offensive lineman, like I said, was a reach at four. You're going to get this dude? I'm done. Gettleman needs to be fired after this season, like seriously. And that's what I got to say.
Yeah, there was a lot of air out of the balloon for the Giants fans on this podcast. Manny Dawgs is on the line. He participated. Great draft board he had last week, and we go back to Bakes after Manny. Manny, what's going on, man? What's your thoughts on Andrew Thomas? The draft pick out of Georgia on the line, offensive line. The line needed help, but was that the right pick for the Big Blue? What's your thoughts? And then we go to Bakes and get his opinion.
Oh, shit. Oh, I can't take it. Yo, you got to get Laurel and Hardy out the goddamn front office. We got to get Laurel and Hardy. You know, that's A.I. Man. That's who's picking our picks, man. That's who's picking our picks. I didn't mean to do it. I don't want to do it. That's who's fucking picking. I'm in a Costello up there, bro. You had a choice. Everybody knew I wanted Simmons, okay? I had a hunch we were going to go tackle. I got it. I understand a tackle pick. I really do. I love Simmons. Simmons is the Saquon Barkley of the defense. He could have been an instant plug-and-play guy right now and cause havoc. Okay, cool. I get it. I understand the logic of a tackle. You had every tackle available to you. If you lined up every piece of those videos, there's no way, guy, at number four. He is not the best tackle available. He's not the best. Like, that, this just shows you that Gettleman doesn't have a plan in place, man. You cannot convince me he has a plan. You, they're not even take best player available right now. So you don't take best player available because that would have been out there. You take best tackle available. You didn't even do that. I guarantee the kid out of Oregon is going to be better than this kid. The kid that I said we should get in the third round or fourth round.
Troy Dye.
Yeah, Calvin Lockwater. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's going to be better than Thomas. Watch. Watch. This kid, dude, he was lazy in his video. He got really long arms and they're really slow.
Can I ask you a question? And before we get to another stakeholder and get their thoughts, go to Bakes and everybody else. Do we almost, not attitude-wise, maybe skill-wise or situation-wise, is this almost an Eric Flower situation as far as getting a tackle, going to throw him on the right side, whatever it could, may, or happen with Nate Solder, throw him in that left tackle? Is this deja vu all over again for you?
This is. That's exactly what it is.
Yes.
That's exactly. In fact, he's worse than Flowers.
I'll repeat.
He's worse than Flowers. Flowers in college was a better prospect than this guy was.
Mm-hmm.
By far. Yeah, that was disgusting. That was disgusting.
Wow.
Well, right. Again, Abbott!
Oh, goodness gracious. All right, Bakes. Let's see if Bakes is back with us, man. Bakes, man. Bakes with us, man. Bakes,
yo, listen. You can't have me following Manny Dogs, dude. That's not fair. Yo, shout out to Manny. But, yo.
Yeah,
I mean,
love,
baby. What everybody's saying, where it was saying, yo, what the fuck is Gettleman thinking, dude? He's not even the top OT on the board. Like, how is he evaluating talent? That's a major concern. How are you evaluating talent?
I think I might have the answer for you. I think he's looking for a team of high overachievers that don't say anything. He doesn't, to win in the league, you need to have dudes.
I did not last year that he's looking for quiet people, that non-dominant. But it's a concern. If the Giants have always been best talent available, that's not the best talent available.
I agree.
In the meantime, the rest of the draft is going exactly how it's supposed to.
Exactly. Everything else is going for the par, and we come on here, oh, let's be different. Let's throw a quirk. Let's get somebody we can get in the second round.
Wow.
He's going to be good.
All right.
He needs to be fired.
Now, Bakes, you have a question for anybody else? We're going to go to Lit after this. You got a question for Lit?
I don't got no question, Steve. I don't got no question in this round. I'm dumbfounded.
All right.
I want to hear from Lit.
This is the big blue round table.
Open the floor. Clear the traffic for Lit. Clear the traffic for Lit.
Right.
Come on through.
Right. We are going to the definition of Lit. Big Blue of Arizona, of course, the ninth wonder of the tailgate world. And we are officially, this is the official Dre Graham draft 2020. We are locked in, and we're going to Dre after that, but Lit first. Lit, man, what's going on, man? You got all the stakeholders, man. What's your reaction to our first round draft pick at number four?
Man, two quick things, man. I should have been in Vegas right now popping off bottles. But it's all right, though. It's 100 degrees in Arizona. So, I mean, where I'm at, it don't matter. But listen, what's really crazy is before the pick was in, they started dropping this hog molly shit. You know, whoever the announcers were, I think it was McFarland. It almost seems like we're going backwards. We should have started hog molly heaven when he first arrived on scene because he did say he was going to fix the offensive line. Now, three drafts in, he didn't go best player available. I kind of had a feeling he was going to go offensive line, but I really felt we should have gotten a guy that could be wearing a gold jacket 20 years from now. We went offensive line, and I'm thinking everything this guy says, he is reneging on. And now we're going to hope in our second, third, fourth picks
that we can recoup maybe what we should have taken in the first round with a generational talent, especially when you have a head coach that is a special teams coach that can put this guy in amazing scenarios. Now we're going to have to figure out, where is our tackle going to go? Is he going to go on the right side making $12 million a year? You got Soldier on the left side making $16 million. We have a pretty high expensive offensive line right now. Our line is looking at about $30 to $38 million. And the majority of the line is over 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. Does this disappoint you, or your overall thoughts on? Wanted to address the line.
But here we go. I'm happy that we're now addressing the line, but as far as dead man walking David Gettleman, he's not going to be around to complete this puzzle of this offensive line that he should have started year one. We're basically starting to really emphasize right now. And it's 3 years into his draft, and I'm like, man, he should have been, you know, more proactive on the offensive line.
He
arrived on.
He could have started 20 minutes ago. Damn.
Yeah. We missed
Tristan Wirfs.
Iowa.
Whoever's not speaking, please mute your line. We're going to Dre. We're going to go to Dre. Dre, what's your thoughts, man? Andrew Thomas, you said this on the draft show last week. What's your thoughts, man? How's everything?
Hey, what's good, man? Honestly, I didn't even know. I just got off work, man. I was in the big-ass mansion putting in an alarm system. Been in there for like 5-6 hours, and I just got off. But it's kind of weird, man. I told you guys last week that he was a beast at blocking. But the reason I also told you the reason why I picked him, because I thought Simmons even there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Simmons was still on the board, but if you go back, you hear me say I picked him because I didn't think Simmons was going to be there at number four. That's why I picked him.
Yeah, that's true.
It's still, you know, I'm still looking like Machiavelli up in here, so you know, this is my round, so I take it any way I can get it. But yeah, it's still kind of weird. I really don't know what to think about it right now. I mean, I'm not jumping up, you know, jumping for joy because I predicted it, but like I said, it's bittersweet because half the prediction, well, over about 80% of my prediction was based off of Simmons not even being there.
Mm.
So it's kind of weird how, you know, I'm just finding out it actually worked out like that. But yeah, I don't know. Like the previous, I forgot who was on there previous before me, but like they said, yeah, he should have did this last year. So we should have straightened up the offensive line, or attempted to straighten it up last year. It kind of makes it look like he came in and said, oh, well, we have, Sauter. This is going to be his breakout year. So, I'm going to ignore the offensive line. We'll be good. That's basically what it seemed like he did. But, yeah, man. I mean, I'm just tuning in, listening to everybody's thoughts and everything. Like I said, I didn't even know about it.
Okay, all right. Shout out to Drake. Now stay right there. Now, if you're not speaking, just mute your line because it's hard to hear. Let's see if we can go back to everybody. Go back. Chris, you had any additional thoughts or your opinion before, and then we'll go back to Carl.
Nah, man, I'm just going to listen to the show. I'm worn out now because I'm serious. Look, I'm sure – I really do hope that Andrew Thomas works out. I hope he's formidable enough to be, more than adequate.
but I don't know if this was the right pick, man. I really don't. I'm trying to be as kind as I can. I don't think he was the best player at his position. I don't think he was the best choice that we could have made. And I know for a fact that we Gettleman's job is in jeopardy if this kid don't pan out. That's all I gotta say. That's it.
I'll say this real quick, man. I'll go and then we'll go back to Carl and go back down the line to everybody and get some extended final thoughts to wrap this up. I'm with you all, you guys, man. Of course, I had different plans on how to build the line in the draft, and I felt that defensively we were just going to go with somebody dynamic on defense to really shore up the pass defense. And outside linebacker, pass rusher, edge rusher are still a position of need. But as far as the right, when I look at this line now, you would think Thomas is going to be at right tackle next to Zeitler and whoever the center is going to be. So the line, in theory, has gotten better, but it's not the best pick. I agree with you. I feel it was too safe of a pick. That's kind of the way I look at it. It was too safe
of a
pick. I'm with like what Rayson is saying, and if it's not a game changing all pro Hall of Fame type of talent on the offensive line, that's where I side with the issue. Now the thing is, you got maybe Gettleman's looking at it, and if we're all looking at it with offensive line, I know Worm Carl says offensive line where. You want to protect our assets, meaning Barkley and also the quarterback, Daniel Jones. So, but at the right side of the line, so you got the edge tackles, you got Nate Solder, Thomas on each end, and then you got Zeitler at right guard. You have a hole in the middle at center. Luis Hernandez is still there. You still have some work in progress if you're trying to commit these hog miles. Carl, anything else you'd like to add? We go back to Bakes and get around for extended final thoughts.
Well, so they didn't take the best player on the board. I think we've kind of established that. And I think all of us are hoping that Andrew Thomas becomes a left tackle that plays 10 years of dominant football, and maybe we see him in a gold jacket one day in Kent. But that being said, I think a lot of us, based on the Giants' past history, have our antennas up very, very high on this particular player based on the players that were available and his particular talent on his own. Unfortunately, there has been, as we talked about earlier in the show, nobody had him as a top lockdown number one offensive lineman. Nobody's had that. So with that already in play, I think we're going to be watching him from day one and see whether or not he makes a difference on this particular team. If he does, great. But if he does not, then he would not, then he would have basically have met our initial thoughts at the time he was drafted.
All right. Let's go get some extended final thoughts. The rest of the draft, Derrick Brown goes to Carolina. Justin Herbert goes to the Chargers. Bakes, give us your final thoughts, man. We waited all season for this moment, and for the most of the season, it's been a disappointing first round. We have a lot of where's the rest of the draft? Where do you want to go the rest of the draft on Friday and Saturday?
Bro, I'm be honest with you, I don't even know what time to go to the draft because I don't know where Gettleman's gonna go. So it don't even matter what I want to pick. It's really disappointing where you see your organization and you have someone that's running your organization and they really have no clue and they don't have a skill system on how to judge talent. Up till to this year, he wasn't using analytics. He's a dinosaur in the computer age. And it's frustrating, you know? I don't understand. I don't know what direction we're going with. I don't know what his design, his overall, you know what I'm saying? You want a hog molly, but you don't get the best hog molly? You're picking at four. You took the first tackle off the board, and you chose the lesser off the top of all the tackles. It wasn't like you were missing one. So my final thought is, we're in trouble if we have Gettleman leading our organization from a talent standpoint.
And we can only wait and watch and see what the rest of this draft is going to amount to. Of course, it takes a couple of seasons to really make out what the draft class really amounts to. I'm hoping he knows what he does. He's doing better than we do. But from the eye test from the last couple of years, we have questions. And that's my final thought. Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. Thanks from the frontliners, man. NYG frontliners on the gram, and also the frontliners of the Facebook fan page. Isaiah Simmons goes to the Cardinals, by the way, continuing on with the draft. Carl, your final thoughts, man, as far as getting through the first 8, 9, 10 picks of the NFL Draft 2020, your final thoughts at our pick and the rest of the draft, and where we go for the rest of the draft on Friday and Saturday?
You know, as we look ahead, you know, the draft has kind of played out as we kind of thought. We were talking about whether or not Simmons would drop. We thought 9 could be the number, but as we saw, he went number 8, so that kind of worked out that way. I think the number to watch out for is 31. The 49ers are trying to trade out of that particular spot. And I think if the Giants are good, just like last year when they got DeAndre Baker, if you remember that trade when they got back into the first round, I think to be very, very cautious, that's probably not the right word, but to be on the lookout whether or not they decide to give up capitals to move back into the first round to take another player. Problem, obviously, is that the Giants gave up their third and their fourth round picks already in this draft. So you would think, how much more draft capital can you give up to try to get the player that you're looking for in that particular spot? But I think now the next player or the next position that should be looked at is either a center or a safety. I think those are the two spots to go to. And we'll see how it plays out, you know, by the end of this draft and into tomorrow.
All right. Shout out to Carl. Thank you for your thoughts and your opinions on this, man, on the first round of this live looking 2020 NFL draft. Who's next? Racin. And then we go to Manny Dogs and everybody else. Racin, give us a final thought, and we'll go to Manny Dogs after that.
Yeah, my final thought is that Gettleman is an idiot. I didn't see this one coming. I'm very upset. This is a shit show, and I hope that he gets fired. And for the rest of the draft, I don't even know now, because after this shocking pick, who knows where the hell Gettleman's gonna go, because he's an idiot. But I don't know, man. I just hope that everything works out for the Giants, which, knowing our luck, it won't. But we'll see, man. And that's all I got to say. Bleed blue, everybody.
All right, man. Bleed blue. Shout outs to Racing, man. Let's go to Manny, man. Manny Dogs, _FOG on the gram. His final thoughts from Manny Dogs.
Bro, man.
Then we go to Lit after that.
See, I'm watching the new New York Giants at number 9. I would not be surprised if this is Jedrick Wills for the Jaguars, because Tom Coughlin usually just picks people that we wanted. You know, this whole thing.
Oh, he's gone now.
Yeah. Jedrick is?
No, Coughlin's he's no longer on the Jaguars. He's gone. No, he said Coughlin was on the Jaguars. He's gone. Yeah, he's gone.
Okay. Listen, man. This is all gone as probably I expect. You know, I always try to go in with optimism, and Abbott, man, Costello always has a way to fuck this up. I don't see us jumping back up in the draft. If we do, okay, whatever. I do think we maybe address the center position, and I don't think we get a safety. I think Julian Love is going to be really good. I really do, guys. I think Julian Love is going to be really good at safety. So I don't think we go safety. If we're going to go defense, we got to go edge or linebacker. That's it. You get a middle linebacker or you get an edge. If you're going to go defense. Otherwise, yeah, go get that kid from Michigan and really fix this offensive line. I just hope, you know, at the end of it all, we don't have Ereck Flowers II, man. That's all I'm hoping, man. And fuck it, we just trade the rest of the draft for the number 10 pick, and we draft number 33 from Polk High. Al, get Busy Bundy. That's who I want on the New York Giants. Al Bundy, Polk High. That's who I want.
Bundy,
give me what I need, baby. man, bleed blue, bro.
Bleed blue, man.
All right, man.
Man, love you, man.
Stay safe, wash those hands, and stay home.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Word up.
Let's go to Lit and then go to Dre and Chris. Oh, Chris and Drop. Go to Lit, then Dre, then Chris, and we're wrapping up. Lit, final thoughts.
So, Steve, listen, as far as the rest of the draft, I think that, you know, what we saw from the first pick is pretty much what we're going to see through the remaining picks up to, you know, the seventh round. And this is pretty much all about David Gettleman. I think he's going to play it safe. He's going to play it very conservative. He's not going to reach and gamble. Obviously, we all felt that he reached with Daniel Jones last year. We, you know, some people were surprised, some people were impressed. I think because his job is on the line, this is going to be probably the most conservative. I don't want to say orthodox or unorthodox, but I think this is going to be probably the most conservative, even keeled draft we're going to see. I think there's going to be a lot of head scratching, but I think, you know, there's not going to be any reaches. They're just going to be ultra conservative because of what he is dealing with. I mean, you know, I said it before on my opening statement, this guy is a dead man walking. What he wants to do, he wants to play it safe from now until pick seven, round seven.
All right. Lit, can I ask you a question before we go to Dre and then everybody else who hasn't speak for their final thought? Lit, can I ask you, because I know the situation, you know, we're all sheltered in. Now, the draft would have been in Las Vegas. How was your energy been, you know, being in that city, you know, Las Vegas, with all those NFL fans, and you heard Giants, so, you know, right in front of the Bellagio, right on South Las Vegas Boulevard, the Strip, Andrew Thomas. What was your reaction had been, you know, had this been a normal society?
Steve, yeah. You asked me a really great question. I'm just going to tell it to you. Pre-draft, I would be lit. I mean, you know, you've never been with me in Vegas. I've been to Vegas several hundred times. I can meander around here, X, Y, and Z, buy a ticket, placing a wager on handball. I'll have drinks in my hand, both hands. I'll have drinks for you. It doesn't matter. But like I said, I would be fucked up, dude. And then when the draft, it's kind of like, it almost be like that euphoric state. And then when the draft happens, I'd be like, yeah, let's go gamble. I'm done. But nah, dude, me and you in Vegas, dude, we'd be in trouble, dude. It'd be the hangover. It'd be me and you probably in Clark County Jail, going through the shoe there. I mean, it'd be amazing. We could tell our children this story. We could tell our grandchildren this story. Me and you in Vegas.
Yeah, but after number four, man, I don't know, man. That's a long night, man. Shout out to Lit, man. Thank you very much, man, for weighing in on your thoughts and your opinion and your analysis.
Hey, good talking to you, Steve.
Dre,
hey, everybody on the line, be safe.
Let's get to Dre and Chris, and then we're out, man. Dre, the Jaguars, who did they pick? I don't know. Dre, final thoughts from Dre, and then we go to Kristen.
Yeah, I mean, just very short and sweet, man. Shit happens. That's my final thought. Shit happens. That's basically what we got to be thinking now. Fucking shit happens. Round two coming up. Nothing that we can do about round one. It just, you know, shit happens. We'll see where the rest of this draft is going now. That's about it. You know, I keep it short.
All right. Shout out to Dre, man. Thank you very much. Shout out to Dre, man. Thank you very much. Kristen, your final thought, and then we'll wrap it up. Come on.
Yeah, as far as it is what it is. It's a repeat. I knew it was going to be. I knew he was going to throw the monkey wrench in the whole thing. But it is what it is, and I scrapped all my other picks, so that's in the garbage. It really doesn't matter at this point. So hopefully he works out. Gettleman needs to lose his job, seriously, because he's going to be the death of us, I'm telling you. But
dead man
as far
walking.
As this new guy, if he doesn't work out, he can always play for the band in the parking lot. So,
the drum line.
Drummer, I guess. So,
all right.
Get him on the G line, see what he can do. But anyway, blue always. And I love you guys. Stay safe. Be careful. And we'll see what happens tomorrow. Part two of the shit show.
Bye, lady.
All right.
Bleed blue.
Bleed blue.
All right. Shout out to Krista. Let's go to Chris, man, and then I'll wrap it up. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Steve. You think Zach Bond will hang out till number 36, or do we have to move up to get him?
I'm tired. I don't know if we got that draft capital to be moving up, man. You know, we had to make up for that Leonard Williams pick. So I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Yeah. You're right. Listen, man. I just want to say, I'll see all of you soon. Bleed blue, stay safe, and look, Gettleman's on the clock. That's all I'm gonna say. He's on the clock. Gettleman's on the clock. That's it. Steve, thank you, man. I'm gonna holler at you next week, bro. Bleed blue.
Actually, you know what, Chris? I think we're gonna do, Chris. We haven't done this in a long time, Chris. And everybody, I think for the Big Blue franchise, I think we're gonna do a Sunday afternoon after the draft episode. I want to really get into this right away. Maybe sometime around 6 p.m. Eastern Standard. Go through all the draft picks Sunday evening. I know a couple of Giant fans reached out to me personally as far as doing a video, but I may do that too, and that's cool. But I'm talking, you know, come back
like
to
that.
Stakeholders. We'll come like a quick hour, maybe 6 p.m. Sunday, follow up on all the draft picks. I don't want to wait 2 weeks or a week or whatever.
Okay.
So we'll do that. We'll address the entire draft board and everybody else's team. Because after Saturday, I'll have 24 hours to sleep it off and really think, was it good? Was it not good? So I want to really attack that on Sunday. We're going to open up the lines on Sunday evening to really have that dialogue. My overall thoughts, it is what it is. Shit happens, like what Dre said, but this is far too much, man. You can't be see, this is where I have an issue with the Giants. You can't tell us best player available is our mantra, no matter if the GM is Ernie Accorsi, if it's Jerry Reese, Dave Gettleman. You can't tell us that and do other things. You can't contradict yourself. You can't fool the fans, man. And this is back-to-back draft.
Nope.
Like, see, the thing is, the Barkley draft was so obvious he was the best player in the entire draft. You couldn't miss that pick. If that was your job, like, you were not going to keep your job that night. So he had to go Barkley in the first round. This the draft last year, he got cute, and it backfired. That's exactly how we all saw it. Now, this draft, we need offensive line help. Yes, we do. But he was not the best player available. We all know that. I would probably put a good 10 players above Andrew Thomas. And that's not, not the nine. Andrew Thomas is just the evaluation of how we see the games in college. This is why we put up the college post on the Bleed Blue Shade every Saturday. Like, we talk college football because we analyze what we see, what we don't see. And we saw what Isaiah Simmons did in the ACC. I mean, we need outside linebacker help and edge help. But let's see if we address those later in the draft, and we'll come back Sunday to discuss it, man. But for Bakes and the frontliners, all right, for Carl, BigBlueChicago.com, Rayson, Manny, Blitz_FOG on the gram, Definition of Lit, Big Blue Arizona, Giants fans of Arizona, Dre, Kristen, Chris, myself. This is the live look in 2020 draft, Big Blue Roundtable. We'll come back Sunday, 6 p.m.-ish, and attack it for an hour and have some fun, man. Sangre, Azul, ladies and gentlemen, everybody stay safe, and Giant fans, got 2 more days. We'll see where we go, man. We got 2 more days, and we'll be right back, man, to discuss it.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.